I promise, if you help me preach, you gotta help me though. My wife gonna help me. My wife said, if you see me stand up, it's not because I'm with you, it's because I'm about to leave. We deserve this break. We deserve this getaway. We deserve it, man. We deserve it. All right. Luke's Gospel, the first chapter. Luke's Gospel, the first chapter. And I want to take you to the 26th verse to the 28th verse. And we're going to preach right in the neighborhood of the 28th verse. The Word of God declares, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, blessed and highly favored. Blessed are you among women. There's a phrase there that I left out. That phrase is where I want to preach. He said unto her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with thee. I want to preach right there. The Lord is with thee. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, speak such a word to us today that it changes everything, not just some things. To be a word, Father, that causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son. A word that transform us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word. Anoint our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing this morning is that you have your way. Do whatever you want to do, for this is your house and we are your people. And we will give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, you agree, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you turn to your neighbor real quick? Smile, come on. Show them everything God has blessed you with. Y'all are too much for me. You know how we do it, Kingdom Life Church. Smile, show them those pearly whites. Come on, baby. Show them how good you look. Look at him and say, the Lord is with me. And before you sit down, find somebody else and say, and if God is for me, come on here, then who can be against me? All right, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach to you this morning from the subject matter, God is with me. We have transition ourselves into preparing ourselves for the new year. And we have come to the conclusion that 2016 is a year of crossing over. It is a crossing over from something that is temporal to something that is permanent. In other words, your relationship with God will no longer be perceived as merely transactional, but rather transformative. In other words, your walk with the Lord is not conditioned upon what he does for you, nor what you do for him, but rather the understanding that he is with you no matter what is going on in your life. It is such a misnomer in the body of Christ that God is a conditional God. First and foremost, his love is unconditional. He loves you because he is love. There is no condition attached. His favor that he bestows upon you is without merit, meaning you cannot earn it. It just comes. The Bible says in Psalms 5 that the Lord will bless the righteous, and with his favor, he will surround them like a shield. And so the favor that you have upon you at this very moment, you did not earn. You just have. The grace that's upon your life is also unmerited. You did not earn it. You just have it. And that grace does not give you the right nor the want to do whatever you want to do, but it allows you to come to God as you are, but have an understanding that you have the power now not to stay as you were. And so you choose to take the life that God has afforded to you on the cross of Calvary. For the Bible says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It is amazing to me that when we dive into the story of Mary, and I could preach this 100 different ways, but when I took this as a text, I wanted to talk about it in the sense of God being with us, because we have decided to call this series of messages real. Somebody shout, it's real, it's real, it's real, it's real. And when we say it's real, what we're trying to say to you is that oftentimes in your walk with the Lord, there has to be a continual renewing of the mind. A continual renewal. Why? Because you can easily forget the things that God has done in your life. We're not even all the way crossed over into 2016, and some of us have already forgot what this place used to look like in 2014. I can't get help here from anybody. You're going to the new bathrooms now, you pull up to the new parking lot, and we got bling in our parking lot now. It's got, I wish I had somebody, got solar panels and coverings and shade. It's ridiculous. And you pull up into this ridiculous building and this ridiculous work and this awesome school, and you forgot just a little over a year ago, none of that stuff existed here, but now it's here and it's already old to you, as if you've been living in it all your life. The devil is a liar. You better start having gratitude and gratefulness for the things that God has done in your life. Not just the big things, but the small, because there's great in the small. And I love it when the old saints used to testify about the small things. I thank the Lord for waking me up this morning. I thank the Lord for starting me on my way. It kept them with a sense of gratitude. I wish I had somebody to talk to. They would thank God for having a right mind, because they know they should be stir crazy, but they had the testimony that it was well with their soul. Can I find a consensus in this room for just a moment to thank God for the small things, the little stuff? You're still here. You got your health. You got somewhere to lay down. You had something to put on. You got something to eat. Just the small thing, small stuff. When you think about the small things, it's easy to renew your mind consistently to what the Lord has done. Because if you don't renew with a sense of gospel attached, meaning that the gospel is 100% authentic, and I can boil the gospel down into one statement: when he got up, you got up. And so, meaning when you have that attached to your renewing process, you understand there's no way you can stay down. There's no way you can be defeated. There's no way you can be depressed. There's no way you can stay in fear. There's no way it can continue in that capacity. It's not to say you won't experience those feelings, but you will not stay that way. And when you realize that renewal, you will always elevate your mind. And when you elevate your mind, you will change your vision. And when you change your vision, you'll be able to assess that you are not where you used to be, but you are somewhere completely different. This then will give you the capacity to let stuff go that has no business being in your life at that moment and at that point. Some of you are elevated, but you're weighted down because you carried stuff with you up to the place that God brought you to that you were supposed to let go a long time ago. Look at your name and say, you got to let it go, baby. You got to let it go. I'm not preaching there. That's next Sunday. I'm going to show you how to let it go. But before you can really, really let things go and truly, truly get free from weights you're not supposed to carry, you have to assess where you are. It is in the text that we find Mary, who was not anybody of celebrity status nor of importance. Obviously, in the Palestinian world, women had a different role and so forth and so on. Not only this, she was a spouse engaged to Joseph to be her husband. And we all know that narrative, and we could talk about that, but I don't want to preach there. We understand that her engagement, of course, being arranged, and therefore she was as already his wife before the marriage was even to take place. And so this is why it says she was a spouse engaged unto him. And so in that capacity, we now find her minding her own business. I got to help somebody out. She was not praying for any of the stuff that was about to happen to her, nor was she looking for it on the horizon. Can I preach there for just a moment? The reason I bring that up is because preachers, and I love all of you, but preachers sometimes really do the body of Christ a disservice by constantly causing us to look for something to come down the road. The Bible says we are to give no thought for tomorrow. Why does the Bible say that? Because Jesus knew if you were consistently worrying about, consistently thinking about what was coming tomorrow, that if it did not show up tomorrow, then you will begin to worry if God was going to do what he said he was going to do. And so you go to the service and they tell you it's coming. Y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. But it doesn't show up in the time frame you want it to show up. Now you begin to worry whether or not God is going to do what he said he was going to do. Let me help you out. God is not a man that he should lie. I can stop right there. He's not a man. He's not a person that you can look at and say, are you telling the truth? If God says it, then it is so. Somebody help a preacher out in here. I'm getting us to where we need to be. And so God finds Mary and she is not praying for anything. She's not asking God for nothing. She's not like Hannah saying, give me a child. My God. She is not like the widow woman saying, raise my son. She is minding her own business. And God decides to show up and give her a new title and a different framework and put her in a place that she doesn't even probably want to be in. Because what God was about to do was so big in her life, everybody was going to hate on her as a result of what the Lord was about to do. Can you just nudge your neighbor and help me just speed this along a little bit and say, don't get upset when the haters show up in 2016, because what God is calling you to do is so much bigger than you. They're going to come out of the woodwork. But you got to have the tenacity to say, I wasn't looking for this. I wasn't praying for this. He just chose me to do this. And if he chose me to do this, Be it unto me according. We're getting there. And so it's important to note that she was not asking for anything. She was not believing God for nothing. But there is a prayer that cannot fail. When you have a renewing process which causes you to remember the things God has done, it elevates your perspective and your thinking. And you'll begin to get to the place where you assess that you're not particularly praying for anything for you. But you have the testimony of Isaiah, and you start declaring, Lord, here am I, send me. You transition from the place of God, help me over here and help me over there, because through your renewal process, you know the Lord will be with you always. You're no longer asking to be delivered out of the trouble. I can see I'm hitting a sour note because some of y'all still want to be delivered out of the trouble. I'm trying to elevate your thinking by understanding that it's not the trouble you need to be delivered out of, because the Bible says the Lord will jump with you right in the middle of the trouble. If you're thrown in the fire, he gonna show up. If you're in the storm, he's in the bow of the boat. I can't get no help from anybody in here. So you gotta graduate this morning. Look at your name and say, you're about to get a cap and gown and graduate. Come on here. Baby, that is high school theology. Come on, it's time to go to college. I wish I had somebody. It's time to be a professional. It's time for you to realize you're gonna have the trouble in this world, but there is no distress. There is no problem that the Lord cannot deliver you out of. I wish I had a church to preach to. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Y'all not gonna kill me this morning. I shall fear. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm not afraid of the trouble. I'm not afraid of the trouble. I'm not afraid of the conflict. I'm not afraid. You don't even believe it. You better slap him again and say, I am not afraid of the arrows that fly by day, nor the terror by night. For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, I wish I had a church, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. But baby, the chaos shall not come nigh my dwelling place. You got to graduate, man. How long are you going to keep coming to church and they keep telling you it's coming? I dropped the mic like 10 times on Wednesday. Meaning drop the mic, walk off the stage. How long will you put up with the same regurgitated spiritual ecumenical mush that they feed you? It's your time and your season. Really? Then where is the manifestation of the tangible promises of God? I don't want to just believe it. I want to walk in it, baby. I want to hold it. I want to embrace it. And so we are skilled at preaching promises of tomorrow. But we are amateurs for crossing over and walking in the promise. Oh, glory. This is why God called me to do what I do. I go all around the country. I tell people what God has done. They look at me like I'm sideways. They tell me, I don't want to hear about that. I'm not joking. I was preaching at a place, and my God, I shared the testimony, and people's looking at me like, whatever. Then I had a bishop come at me and say, well, that's you. And I said, well, Bishop, the reason I shared it is because the same God. Sometimes God has to provoke you to move into your purpose. And so he'll bless somebody that does what you do and make you watch them. I wish I had somebody in here walking what you're supposed to be walking in. I'm preaching. Well, how can you say that? Because 6 months prior, my God, God is setting somebody up. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to give y'all a little lesson and go sit down somewhere. All right. Let me hurry up. 6 months prior, to Gabriel visiting, Lord have mercy, Mary, he had to visit Elizabeth. Why? Because 6 months prior, he told Elizabeth, you're about to have a son, her and her husband, Zachariah. Zachariah didn't even believe it, and when he didn't believe it, God had to shut his mouth. Y'all ain't said nothing, God, because he won't have you speaking death over what he called is going to be life. I wish I had somebody in here to help me out. And so 6 months prior to that, why? Because he knew that Mary would get to the place, and we'll get there in a moment, where she would begin to try, renew, and elevate her thinking and assess where she is, and worry would kick in. And so God made sure that he could partner her up with somebody who's been there, done that, went through it, had the doubts, had the fear, had the worry. I'm preaching much better than your shout, and can build your faith up so that you do not quit. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a prayer that cannot fail. And that prayer is the prayer that the Lord is praying for you right now, that your faith fail not. Faith fail not. God, I got to hurry. I'm getting to where I got to go. And so God was getting himself prepared, ready for what was about to come, because Mary did not even ask for, nor did she inquire, nor did she huck a mashah. She didn't put no seed on it. She didn't put a praise on it. I can't get help from nobody in here. She didn't do anything. Nothing. She did nothing. And God comes, sends his angel, and says, yo, Mary, what's up? Now, here's what's interesting. I got to hurry up. Just give you these points, and I'll get us to where we need to go. Here's what's interesting. I love it. Mary was not shocked at the visitation of the angel. If you go home today, and Gabriel is in your living room, I don't have time to. But when the Bible describes angels, it describes they got eyes and their wings and all types of stuff. And imagine you go home and that's in your living room, talking about hell. You're not going to walk up in there talking about, what's up, man? What's going on? What God want? No, you went, ah! I wish I had somebody to help me out. Mary was in shock at the visitation of the angel. The visitation didn't bother her. The visitation doesn't bother you. That's why you come to church. You don't mind being visited by God. Where you have the problem is when you have to carry what he wants you to carry. I am preaching better than y'all. All right, I'm leaving. I'm getting on a plane. I'm getting out of here. When you have to carry what God wants you to carry, not only does he have to give you a prayer that cannot fail, but he has to accompany that with divine protection, because you are holding something that is very valuable to him. The purpose that God created you for, baby, my God, he has more interest in than you do, because people are waiting for what is deposited on the inside of you. That's why no weapon formed against you can prosper. That's why you can go through hell and high water and come out like nothing ever happened. I ain't got no church in here this morning. That's why you're still here. I need just three people that can get this. You should have been taken out a long time ago. The rest of y'all are phony. you're phony. You shouldn't be sitting where you're sitting. My God, you should be somewhere out of your mind. You should be lost. You should be discouraged. You should be confused. You should be angry. You should be bitter. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Let me get off of this. Let me get off of this. I got one point. Here it goes. Because y'all ain't ready for nothing else. She's not shocked by the visitation. Angel shows up. Hail Mary. Highly favored and blessed are you. The Lord is with you. You shall have a child. What? You're going to have a child. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us. I'm preaching, man. Now we got a problem. I'm glad you're here, but I'm not glad to hear what you had to say. How can this be? I know not a man. No one's touched me. How can this go down? I'm engaged. He put a ring on it. I can't get up. Y'all got to get me out of here. Y'all gotta get me. He put a ring on it. You about to mess up my game. I come from nothing. I'm marrying Joseph of the house of David. Meaning you are, I'm attached to kingship. God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. And now you're about to ruin my name when I was over here minding my business. Doing me. I wasn't praying for this. I wasn't believing for this. I'm praying better. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. I wasn't up 5 days a week. Huh? With the prayer shawl on. You ain't never been to Jerusalem, but you got a prayer shawl. Y'all ain't said it. And got the prayer shawl on and wrapped over my head. And I'm praying and I'm walking the floor. I wasn't doing none of that. I was minding my business. And you come to visit me with a message that I'm about to carry something that's going to change the world. I'm about to carry something that comes from God only. How can this be? And so, for Mary, you can only imagine there's a small in the narrative, brief stoppage of dialogue between her and the angel. When she said, how can this be? There's a pause before he tells her how. Because before the angel can tell her how, Mary's mind has to get in line with what God wants her to carry. Because God will not manipulate you to do something that you do not want to do. Remember, Mary did not ask for it. God chose her to do it. God, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. And so between the verses, there's this difficulty and this problem of worry and anxiety. First point, last point. Here you go. Fear and worry are interest paid in advance on something you may never own. I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting. I'm going to say it one more time because y'all trying to act like y'all not in church. Fear and worry are interest paid in advance on something you may never own. You're putting a down payment of interest, not principal, on something that's never going to happen in your life. Fear is a poor chisel for carving out tomorrow. If you're worried about tomorrow, baby, I got good news for you. Worry isn't reality. Worry is the triumph of fear over faith. You have to understand that worry gives a small thing a big shadow, sweetheart. It is not real. It is an imagination. It is a vain thing. And you have to understand that worry is not something that you're not supposed to carry around. I know you didn't ask for it. I know you didn't pray for it. But God said, I chose you for it. And if I chose you for it, that means I created you to be it. I don't have nobody in here to help me preach, so I'm going to preach it all by myself. Slap your neighbor a high five since you ain't paying attention no how, and say, stop all your worrying. Come on here. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is. I don't have a church. I wish I had one. I don't have one. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Worry, watch you now, is derived from the Anglo-Saxon. It means to strangle or to choke off. To strangle or to choke off. To cut the flow that gives life. Oh God. There's no question that worry and fear chokes off the positive creativity that God gives us. The Bible says that we have the capacity to cast our burdens on the Lord. And the Bible says, Psalms 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain you. Now, God, that word sustain means he shall give you breath. My God, if worry, my God, I'm preaching better, y'all, chokes and strangles, when you take what you're worrying about and put it on the Lord said, I'll give you your breath back. God, I'm preaching way better than y'all folk are shouting in here. Come on, Kingdom Life Church, help me out in this room. Look at your name and say, you've been choking your vision. You've been choking your purpose. You've been choking your tomorrow. But God is about to give you your breath back. Ah, God, it's been hard for you to breathe. But you are about. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. What worry does, it causes you to respond out of fear. And here's the problem with that. Fear never responds. That was drop the mic, walk off the stage. Fear has no response. The only thing fear knows how to do is attack. I am preaching way better than Yasha. You get afraid enough and you get backed into a corner enough, you're gonna attack. Fear doesn't have dialogue. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. It doesn't know how to. Because when you're operating in fear, your body shuts down. Your nervous system says, we got to keep this thing alive. So stuff just stops working. I am preaching. I am preaching. I really am. First Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Worry is a route that always leads you to nowhere. Never allow it to direct your life. Oh God. Never allow it to direct your life. And you're sitting up in here, I ain't worried. You're lying. You're worrying about bills, and you're worrying about work, and you're worrying about relationships, and you're worrying about your kids. How can God show up and say, I put something in you that the world needs, and I need you to carry it and deliver it when you're full of worry? Oh God, I feel like preacher. I gotta get out of here. How can he? So in the pauses, there's worry. God shows up, highly favored, and blessed are you. And you love that part. Yes, I am. Carry this for me. Wait a second. Hold on to food ticks, player. I got some stuff set up right here. I got some stuff going on. I'm gonna need you not disrupt that. Carry this for me. Carry this. How can this be? How can this be? Oh God, I'm about to finish this thing. Somehow, some way, Mary was able to shift her mind into agreement about what God was about to advance in her life. Oh God, how can two walk together except they be agreed? That's why at the end of scripture and verse, we normally say amen. For amen means I agree. I wish I had somebody. Or let it be as was said. I wish I had somebody. Or let it be so. Mm-hmm. Where is your amen to what God says he wants you to carry? I got some of you are full of giftings and talents and abilities. I'm preaching way better than your shout. But it's being choked by worry. In the pause of the narrative, how can this be? Gabriel starts back up, says you're going to be endued with power from on high. I would preach right there, but y'all not killing me. I'm getting on a plane and I'm going to go put my feet up on a beach somewhere while you sitting here looking at me like I'm crazy. Endued with power from on high. When God, my God, commissions you to carry something that you didn't even ask for, you better believe it's not going to be by your power that it's going to get done. Not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. You're worrying about the how, and he's trying to tell you, I'm going to do it, Joker. You don't have to worry about how. You just got to agree to carry it. And if you agree to carry it, I'll get it done.
I'm leaving.
I'm closing. No, y'all really sat on me this morning. I am close. I can't come on. Y'all like, come on. No, I'm not hooping and hollering and getting an aneurysm. Receive this. Listen to me. You are preconditioned by preachers to continually think about tomorrow. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. When a woman in the Bible didn't pray for anything, y'all don't hear me. She didn't even pray for it. God just showed up and said, will you carry this? It is good news. See, you want to be the one going, I prayed for this. Because you want it to be merit-based. This is why somebody who was on drugs for 20 years can come in the house of God and their life be totally rearranged and transformed, and God bless them and take their life to a whole different level, because they don't come with no preconditions. They know they jacked up. I can't get help. I wish I had somebody in here to preach to. What you think your prayer moving, boo? It's his prayer. I pray that your faith doesn't fail. Because when I need you to carry something for me, you're going to need your faith, not your fear. I need you to live in your hopes, not your fear. I need you to live in your dreams, not your fear. I pray, God, you break that mentality off of you right now in the name of Jesus. You don't deserve it, but you're going to get it anyway. It's not supposed to be yours by the world's standards, but God says, who I choose to bless, I will bless. I know what I'm talking about. Come on, I'm done. I'm leaving. No, preach is over.